Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, welcome to a special edition of the Must Hear Music Podcast. So this week sees the series finale of Glee, a show that Aaron and I both watch for better or worse, or were into for better or worse at points in our lives. And we're going to be going back through some of our favorite songs on the series. These are, in our opinions, the all-time best songs Glee has covered, although this is by no means comprehensive. I'm sure there are some great songs that we totally will forget about.
It's nice to be able to say that they're really, like, over the course of the show, over 700 songs, and that there really were a lot of standouts. Like, for long stretches of time, this show is cranking out like 4 or 5 stellar numbers a week.
Yeah, I mean, when it's like, I always kind of think of like the glory years as the first 2 seasons.
Fair.
And you know, I mean, I watched past then, but really, like, some of those, there would at least be like one incredible number a week. And some of those weren't always like, their cover of Jump, I always remember the Van Halen song, wasn't like vocally great, but the whole like mattress jumping commercial was so much fun.
The energy with the 8 of them, I'm going to refer to them as kids, even though they were absolutely not.
Yeah.
Really made a lot of those numbers. When you say the Jump one, I also think of Run, Joey, Run, which was probably from like the end of the second season. Mm-hmm. And it was the same deal where like vocally it probably wasn't anything special and the original song wasn't anything,
not much
special,
anything special either.
But the way that they did that as like a fake movie and over the top dramatic, like all of them did a really good job with that.
Yeah,
that
Rachel was so good with that. Leah Michelle, but
To be clear, I'm always going to refer to them as their character names.
I know.
As well.
Yeah, pretty
sorry,
much
guys.
Too.
You all did a really great job, but I'll never learn your real names.
But yeah, let's. So I mean, basically, I would say off the top of my head, when I think back on what my all-time favorite song is probably when the Warblers covered "Somewhere Only We Know," the Keane song, because also it's okay. Let me not get to also before I say the first thing. It's beautiful. It's vocally gorgeous. And it really has just one of those like sweet moments where it's like Kurt's going back to McKinley and Blaine is giving a little like sweet goodbye present to him. But yeah, I mean, that Warblers album, I remember when that came out, like, I think some of the best stuff the show has done is Warbler stuff. I mean, Darren Criss just has a great voice.
That was such
and they
a great
harmonize
find.
So well together. Totally. Like, yeah, if they hadn't gotten Darren Criss, I mean, I feel like it would have lost. Like, that season wouldn't have even been as good. Like,
right, he was the breakout star coming even a season later.
Mm-hmm, totally.
That's why the Warblers had their own album that they put out.
I know, yeah. I actually reviewed that album for Entertainment Weekly when I was
crazy
there. Both Aaron and I are EW vets, and I think I gave it an A-, but
I stand by that review.
It's a really solid listen. Like, it's fantastic. But what are some of the ones that you remember?
I mean, as you said, there's obviously so many, but two that kind of sum up the things about the show that I really liked was Somebody to Love, which was the big one of the big group numbers in the original like run of episodes.
Yeah, one of the really early ones.
Just like total showstoppers. And then they mined that, the way that they did that song, throughout the rest of the show, where a lot of these episodes would end with a great, powerful number by the whole group in the auditorium. And those were always some of my favorite ones.
Totally.
But Somebody to Love was totally a high point, as well as I'm always a sucker for a Leah Michelle power ballad.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved Don't Rain on My Parade, even though, as the show is wont to do, like, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever for like one of their like performance numbers to be just like a solo number from one of the kids. But I loved it, so I wasn't complaining. In the same vein, I loved her. I think it was her Nayada callback when she sang To Love You More, the Celine Dion song. It was maybe end of season four, and it was just like another one where it was just like her alone, minimal music, just like belting something out. And I always appreciated those.
Yeah, I mean, I love Don't Rain on My Parade. I love whenever Lea Michele does Streisand. And, yeah, totally. You know, as a lot of haters are quick to point out, like, no, it's not as good as the Barbra Streisand original, but, like, I'm sorry, it's not as good as one of the greatest singers of all time. Like, it's still, like, a really great vocal, and, like, it's so, like, she's just so, you always want to root for her every time she's singing Barbra.
And, like, when I knew we were going to do this, I was kind of going through and just, like, reminding myself some of the highlights from each season, and it really is, like, for all of them, but I think particularly her, an impressive feat, the amount of music she has covered in different genres, like, a lot of it's, you know, Broadway pop, but mm-hmm. a lot of it isn't, and the amount, just the sheer number of songs that she's been able to perform over the past several seasons of the show, I think is a really impressive achievement.
That's true. I didn't really think of that, but when you, I mean, yeah, like, think of any other artist who's been required to sing everything from, like, R&B to pop to Broadway, and, like, not just those styles, but, like, dozens of those songs over the course of, like, 4 or 5 years. Like, that just doesn't happen to, like, another singer. Like, maybe you'll have an album where you have one song that, like, touches on each thing, but, you know, like, that artist gets an opportunity to really, like, hone that song in. Like, they just have to, like, churn out multiple songs per episode. And yeah, and then some of them aren't that incredible, but then some of them really, like, do stick with you. Like, they're the Rachel and Finn Last Christmas is one of my favorite Last Christmas covers. And there are a lot of great Last Christmas covers.
Yeah, Last Christmas, I think, is, like, one of the most poppy Christmas songs. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a ton. I always liked God Rest You Merry Gentlemen by Amber Riley. That's my favorite of the Glee Christmas tunes.
Nice.
It's just, like, so powerful.
Yeah, and so, I mean, yeah, let's talk about mashups, because they've done a lot of great mashups over the years. I think one of the best early ones was the Michael Jackson Yeah Yeah Yeahs, where they mashed up Thriller with Heads Will Roll.
That was the Super Bowl episode, right?
Yeah, so that was the Super Bowl episode. And that was just, like, such a good dance and so much fun. And yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, what other...
I loved Get Happy, Happy Days Are Here Again, when Rachel and Kurt sang those. And when talking about, like, good combos on the show, I always love whenever the two of them would do a sadder or more emotional duet. Or they played really well off each other.
And yeah, those two
really
voices work really well together. Yeah, and Defying Gravity is another one where we get to hear both of their, like, separate performances. And, I mean, Lea Michele sings it much better. Like, no offense to Chris Colfer, like, it's not really in his vocal range. But when you're watching it, like, it's incredible because, like, you can tell the song means so much to him, his character personally. And, I mean, also, that was one of the great things about Glee. Like, I think at that point, that was first season, right? Where they did Defying Gravity. Like, I mean, Glee really did introduce a lot of those big Broadway songs to mainstream American audiences that probably didn't know them before then. You know, like, obviously Defying Gravity is a big Broadway standard at this point because Wicked's, like, one of the biggest Broadway shows. But, you know, it would never be on the radio or in commercials or something like that. So I feel like at that point, you know, people who were tuning into Glee who liked the pop songs were also getting exposed to stuff like Barbra Streisand or Wicked songs that they probably weren't familiar with.
Yeah, and I love that they also, especially in the earlier years, well, still as well, but they would dedicate episodes to older albums that kids definitely didn't know. Mm-hmm. Not only Barbra Streisand, but, like, I remember the Rumours episode.
Yeah.
Where it was just the entire episode was about the Fleetwood Mac album, and mm-hmm. they played it like the audience probably wasn't familiar with those songs. But then it was such a great success story for the show because not only were all those covers so fun and great, and I remember downloading that, but then the original Rumours album, the Fleetwood Mac mm-hmm. version, shot to the top of iTunes afterwards. So that was, like, a really nice example of, like, what the show could do for music education.
Totally, and actually to this day, and of course the Dixie Chicks covered Landslide as well, but Landslide is actually the best-selling Fleetwood Mac digital download song, and you know, and it wasn't, like, Landslide was not a hit back in when it originally came out. Like, this, it's now, but, like, their most popular song amongst the digital download crowd, like, pretty much because Glee covered it, and also the Dixie Chicks. So that's cool. I mean, yeah, it shows the show had an enormous influence.
Do you prefer the covers where the kids are singing it very similarly to the original, or do you like the ones where they mix it up a little bit and try something new?
I tend to like the ones where they mix it up a little more, but I totally understand that, you know, there's time constraints with the show and everyone can't be, like, changing everything. And certainly, like, with what we're talking about with Don't Rain on My Parade, like, that's a pretty faithful cover and it's great.
Speaking of faithful... Faithfully.
Nice.
Speaking of faithfully, let's talk about Journey and all the times that Glee covered those, because I think those are some of the, among the best of the show.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's almost like the pilot of Glee is an incredible pilot. I think even if you're not a big fan of the show, anyone who's just like a fan of TV like has to watch that and be like, this is like one of the most rock solid pilots that's ever been put out.
And it just really taps into so many things about longing and about not belonging and about high school and just so, oh gosh, I remember like watching that and being like, I will be watching this show every episode.
Yeah.
Forever. And here we are
We are, yeah.
Went through some stuff. Lots of stuff went down on that show. But they're still standing, and so are we.
I mean, that first one, like, I don't want to out myself, but I totally was, like, tearing up when, in the pilot, Schuster is going to quit his job, and then he hears them practicing Don't Stop Believing, and then he comes back in, and he's like, all right, I'm back in, guys. It's just, like, it works so perfectly, and there is something great about a Journey power ballad that's like so earnest and cheesy that is like exactly in line with the show's tone. Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Stay alive. One of the ones you chose that you wanted was the Whitney Houston When Britannia danced
yes.
to. I want to dance with someone.
I want to dance with somebody. Which is, you were saying this earlier, and the Whitney Houston episode was great. I love that cover of I Want to Dance with Somebody.
It's really good.
Obviously, the Whitney Houston song, like, they're starting with a high bar of, like, that song is already just, like, an all-time great song. Mm-hmm. But, like, that was a great example of the fact that, like, whether they actually were or not, they all looked like they were having the greatest time ever
totally.
Performing. And so it's interesting because, like, I don't necessarily like listening to that, to the Glee cover.
I Want to Dance with Somebody.
I don't necessarily like just listening to I Want to Dance with Somebody, but whenever I'm on whenever I'm on YouTube, I'll watch the performance, and like their joy performing that makes me happy and makes me want to rewatch it again. And I feel like that's true for a lot of the numbers on the show.
Yeah. I mean, I think, what do you think about the Madonna episode? So I mean, I'm a huge Madonna fan. I definitely had mixed feelings towards a lot of the covers, but the Britney Me Against the Music cover was so much fun.
Fantastic. I loved their Like a Prayer. I talked about this earlier, but any number where they're all in the auditorium singing together, like, normally will give me chills, but mm-hmm. Like a Prayer, I think, is one of the all-time great auditorium numbers for me.
Yes, that is a good one. And also, I like a kind of a later years Madonna song that doesn't give too much shine is I Love New York. And I like that they brought that on.
That was fantastic.
With a mix up with On the Town the show didn't move to New York, but when parts of the show moved to New York.
Totally.
God. And yeah, I'm just looking at a list of stuff, you know, they did Springsteen, they did stuff from The Wiz, and you know, and not all of them were hits. Like, I have to say, a few of the times Schuster was rapping, I was like, not only do I not want to listen to this again ever, but I don't want to be listening to this once or watching it.
Yeah. What never worked for me was any of the times they tried to cash in on a viral song like Gangnam Style or Call Me Maybe or some of those. And those were never my favorites.
Yeah. Like the Gangnam Style. Yeah. Totally just didn't work. One that was kind of, they tried to do the flash mob thing with Billy Idol Dancing With Myself. And it was Artie, I believe, who was imagining jumping out of his wheelchair and doing it.
Yes.
That actually was, I mean, you know, flash mobs are such a, like, whatever year that was that they were big, like 2011, like very much of its time. But like that, I think that one actually worked really well.
Can we just like take a quick side note? Why on earth did they put that actor, Kevin McHale, in a chair? Like, I remember after watching that episode and watching that song and seeing how incredible a dancer he was, I was like, what? Right. Who made that choice?
Yeah, I mean, he was in a boy band, not successful one, but before Glee started. So
was Matthew Morrison.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously, like, you're in a boy band, that was kind of a requirement that you know how to do some moves. So
true.
God knows what reason they put him in one. That being said, though, that well anyways, so what about Artie? Do you have favorite Artie songs?
I think probably, honestly, Safety Dance. I want to talk about Kurt really quick.
Yes.
Because Kurt, now that I'm like rethinking about this and talking about this, I love my Lea Michele power ballads. I also really like anytime Chris Colfer gets a huge solo number from something in the Broadway canon, like Not the Boy Next Door or Rose's Turn, where it was like he had the confrontation with his dad and they changed the lyrics a little bit and he was just like belting it out solo.
Rose's Turn was very good.
Like, let me like stand up in my living room and give a round of applause.
Yeah, and I also, they have just a really great ability to kind of hit those like high note ballady things and then also do the kind of like sleazy pop stuff. Like when they did the drinking episode, which is probably one of my favorites, and they did the Jamie Foxx song, Blame It on the Alcohol. Well, the song's just called Blame It, but you know, that's the chorus. Like that was just, you know, it's I guess it's risky to like, or dangerous in some ways to do a scene where you're kind of like glorifying teenage drinking, but I think they like walked that perfect line between like showing that it's fun but also being like, but shit can get real and this probably won't end that well, so be careful, kid. Blame it on the goose, got you feeling loose. Blame it on the drunk, got you in the zone.
Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the Speaking of the walking PSA about drinking and drug abuse, can we talk about the Walking on Sunshine / Halo cover where they all were just straight up on drugs? Like, people also forget, like, early season Glee was insane. Like, as insane as the show is in the later seasons for different reasons, anything goes was, like, clearly the policy at the beginning. So anyway, all the students accidentally got, like, super high from the school nurse, I believe.
Yes, I believe that was it.
And sang an incredible, like, high-energy mashup of Walking on Sunshine and Halo that had like some great like Lea Michele glory notes in there.
I totally forgot about that, and that is like one of the best mashups. That was the one where the boys and the girls were like doing competing mashups.
As you do.
Incredible. Yeah, it was all high schools. High schools are always pitting boys and girls against each other.
I actually always liked when they put the girls and guys against each other on this show. That usually resulted in some good songs.
Yeah. No, you get good chemistry, and also it tends to like shake it up because the characters don't really break down, at least amongst their like cliques amongst gender for the most part. So you would get like characters who hate each other forced to sing a song together and stuff like that. And shout out to the guy who's always playing the piano. Whatever his real name is. Like, that guy's just been holding it down for years.
Holding it down
on the
for
show.
Years. That, and then him, and then also like the drummer. They, like, there's always the piano guy, but then occasionally there were like three or four other band members, always the same actors, who just like were ready to roll anytime those kids had a song in their heart.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's also one of the funniest things about the show, because you think there are so many episodes about how like, oh, there's not any funding for Glee Club and we have to do a bake sale or whatever, you know, the hell they did in various episodes. But then it's like, maybe because you're paying like these full-time musicians just to sit around and wait for you to break out in song.
You never know when you're going to have to sing a song to the boy you like.
Right, exactly. And they're like, they're not just there for Glee Club. They're like for whenever, Rachel
whenever
just
you have an emotional moment.
Has to say something to Finn. It's like, all right, let's bring in the studio musicians.
It's like when she has to like belt the entirety of Total Eclipse of the Heart with tons of ballet dancing, which is definitely one of my all-time favorites. Also, Jesse St. James, Jonathan Groff.
Oh, yeah.
Always a welcome treat whenever he comes back.
Yeah, he always really hit the right notes, both literally and figuratively. And same thing with Kristen Chenoweth. Like, when she was on the show, like, obviously a great voice, but just, I mean, there's something about, like, Broadway performers doing musicals that they're just better than having TV actors come on and guest on the show. Like,
absolutely. Idina Menzel as Rachel's mom, same deal.
Yeah.
When they sing, like, I Dreamed a Dream or Poker Face, as you duet with your mother. Those were always really fun.
Yeah, I mean, they had a lot of great guest stars, but there is something about people who know musicals like are going to be better at doing musical songs for the most part. And yeah, the Poker Face was incredible. Kurt doing Bad Romance was a great favorite. I mean, I'm trying to think. Are there any other Gaga ones? Did they do? They did a whole Gaga episode.
They did a whole. They did multiple whole Gaga episodes. They did the. They did. There was the Born This Way episode,
right,
where they did the T-shirts where they gave out their insecurities, classically. Mm-hmm. But another really great one was when Adam Lambert came on in season 5,
yes,
I believe, and did the Marry the Night cover. And that really, like, I remember that was kind of a thing online of people being like, "Holy mm-hmm. crap!"
Yeah, he kind of like, because that song didn't do terribly well for Gaga. And yeah, he like sang the hell out of it. It was almost like he maybe did a better job than her on that one.
Sacrilegious.
A little sacrilicious to say. No, I love both of them. Yeah, and Lambert, what another great get for the show. Yeah, I have to admit this. I mean, so I'm definitely more heavier. Like, I watched every episode of the first 3 seasons, and then after that, I was kind of like scattered because I thought it fell off a little bit, and you know, maybe it was just that I had enough of it.
Maybe you've grown up.
Maybe I've grown up a little bit too much. But am I missing out on, are there like songs from this season that like measure up to some of?
Yes, I'm going to take you through them right
okay,
now.
Okay,
so first of all, you should go back and watch the first half of season 4.
Okay.
Because that's when they're all, the original kids are still on the show and they're like branching out and in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good from like an emotional standpoint of just like anyone can relate to that point where you're like
totally,
not in high school anymore. But the songs are really, really great. Include, especially this one episode, I believe it's episode 4, but it's the one, spoiler alert, all the couples break up and it's just like power ballad, break, like classic breakup mm-hmm. song after classic breakup song. And like, Lea Michele's doing Don't Speak with all 4
ooh,
of them. Like, they're all fantastic.
Like,
so if you're
that,
picking one to just like kind of like get a final like glee hit, that's what I recommend. But then this season, it's actually been pretty fun because again, the originals are all back. So they've been doing, they've, you know, they're just more talented.
Yeah.
So it's been fun to kind of see that. They did a big group number of Home, which was a fantastic way to end one episode. They've covered like the current hits, like Ariana Grande's Problem. And then I'm trying to think what else they've done recently. I mean, they've had a big, like, lots of celebration songs because characters are getting married. Everyone's, you know, departing for the great unknown. So, you know, it's not as good as it was, but it's still, at least the songs are still very enjoyable.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, I'm looking at a list of some of the season. I mean, yeah, there's interesting choices. Celebrity Skin, the Britney Spears song 3. You know, those are the things you might not necessarily expect Glee to do. One early one, or maybe this was season 2, actually, that I really remember loving is they covered a pre-Blurred Lines Robin Thicke. I think it was actually Robin Thicke's first hit when he was just called Thicke.
I was so into Darren Criss at that point. Like, that made me, Teenage Dream was a fan, but then, yeah, he had like several great ones in a row where
yes,
you're like, hello, I'm interested in this show now.
Yeah,
again,
he sang Thicke's When I Get You Alone, which is based on a song from the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack called The Fifth of Beethoven. And he was trying to like woo a guy in a gap or something like that. So obviously, you know, when you like a guy in a gap, you bring all your schoolmates to the gap and you have them like screw everything up and get him fired and then sing a song to him. And it didn't work. Didn't work for Blaine, but man, that was at the point where you were like encountering Darren Criss's voice for the first few times and it was like, where has he been all my life? Where's he been all the life of this show?
Yes, exactly. back to your earlier question about season six songs to check out, they brought in even more new kids this season, mm-hmm. and they're actually more talented than the first batch of replacements.
Good. Because there were a few ones who I just had zero interest
in. Yeah. The characters were boring, and it's not entirely their fault. Anyway, the Warblers are still very alive and well. Blaine is coaching them, but he sometimes jumps in to help out, and they do a great cover of Sing by Ed Sheeran.
Nice.
And one of the new kids also performs the Janelle Monáe song Tightrope, and it's fantastic.
I did hear that one, and that was really good.
It was great. Yeah. They're trying to take all your dreams, but you can't allow it. Because, baby, whether you're high or low,
whether you're high or low, you got to tip on the tightrope. What about the episodes that are like all musicals where they did like Rocky Horror and Grease?
I loved those because I felt like, especially after the first couple seasons, the plotting of the show like totally fell off. You know, this is a common complaint. I'm not breaking any ground here. But so those were always the ones where I was sure to tune in right away because if nothing else, I knew that those numbers were going to be top notch.
Right.
I'm thinking about like the Michael Jackson episode as one that was particularly strong. But and then like I know Rocky Horror got like a lot of like crap when it first came out. And like again, as an episode of television, maybe it doesn't work. But in terms of introducing a bunch of kids to Rocky Horror
yes.
and like looking like they're all having a blast. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I liked it a lot more than a lot of the episodes.
Yeah, I think as someone who at that point loved Glee and had loved Rocky Horror for many years, I think it's just kind of fun to see these characters that you care about like acting out different roles, which I think is why like I loved the Rocky Horror episode, and I know it got kind of a mixed reaction, but I thought they did great with the songs. And it's just, you know, it's like when there's an artist you care who covers a song from another artist you care. Like, it's even if it's not life-changing, it's just kind of cool to hear that happen.
And same deal, they later, for their school musicals, quote-unquote, did Grease, and they did West Side Story, and I liked both of those for the same reason.
I did not see the West Side Story one, but I should.
West Side Story was a big deal during the show because they decide to lose their virginities to each other at the exact same time.
That's horrifying. That sounds really
Who
gross.
Who among us hasn't watched West Side Story and thought, this is love?
Yeah, I guess
sure,
most
fine.
Teenagers. Yeah, teens are always watching West Side Story
teens,
these days. Since the 50s, like teens have been just watching West Side Story and getting horny. But yeah, oh, and the Heroes. They did the David Bowie Heroes 1 point.
Oh yeah, that was great.
And that's another great example of what we were talking about, like introducing new music. Like obviously if you're a rock person, you're gonna know Heroes, the David Bowie song. But it's fair to say that, you know, a lot of people who watch Glee are probably not like classic rock heads. So, you know, this is kind of their opportunity to get like the cream of the crop when it comes to that stuff. Like maybe they're not going to get David Bowie's entire album because it's a weird electronic album that song comes from. But now they know the song Heroes.
Absolutely. I mean, speaking for myself, I'm not a rock person, and I definitely I was obviously familiar with the artists, but there were a lot of songs on Glee when they would do some of those rock things at concerts that I didn't necessarily know. But then I became interested and wanted to check it out and was like, oh, the original's much better. I like this.
Yeah. No, I mean, that definitely happened with me, too. There were certainly songs where I was not familiar with, and then you hear the Glee one, and then it's like, well, not as good as the original, but I'm still glad that it introduced me to it.
But I wouldn't have known about the original
exactly.
without those crazy kids from McKinley.
Do you think there are any songs that Glee did better than the original?
I definitely think there are. I mean, a lot of the pop covers, I'm trying to think, like anytime Lea Michele would perform like a Rihanna song or a Katy Perry song, like no offense to those artists, but like they're not necessarily known for like powerhouse vocals.
Right.
So some of the ballads, like I feel like Firework or Cry
right.
or something like that, if Lea Michele was solo taking it on, I probably liked that one better.
Yeah, I mean, the Firework was great. And yeah, I think, you know, what I was saying earlier, I actually like the Warblers version of the Keane song a little better than the original. And the Lambert, too, I do think his Marry the Night is probably ever so slightly better than Gaga's.
And a lot of times when they were doing competition songs, when they would do like a medley of three different songs, and it wasn't necessarily a mashup, but they would just kind of give you a sampling, I liked those a lot better than the original sometimes, simply because it kind of got to the best part of the song.
Totally.
And then cut in and out. So that was always a nice treat. I think one of the biggest shocks of this season has been that there's so many songs that they haven't covered. Like, there was an episode a couple weeks back that was all about Carole King and Alanis Morissette, and they did mashups of these two, like, powerful women, and it was really interesting, first of all, to hear what they came up with for those mashups, but also just the fact that, like, they haven't really covered either of those two women. I'm sure they did one song at one point or another, but that's, like, two phenomenal artists who are so important to, like, the musical canon. And they're just getting around to it in season 6. So it's kind of crazy to think that for as much as Glee's covered, there's so much that they haven't.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously just, like, so much music out there, but they always find stuff that really does, like, fit, for the most part, within, like, an a cappella-ish setting. Has Glee, and I feel like I'm outing myself as, like, a non-Glee expert right now, but have New Directions ever done One Direction?
I don't remember if New Directions did it. They've definitely covered One Direction before, but I forget if another school, like the Warblers, right, or someone covered it. I believe New Directions did. I think it was Sam. All right.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, yeah. And what about, like, in terms of, like, singing? Obviously, Lea Michele probably has the best voice. But is she your favorite singer in the Glee?
Yeah, I like her. I like her, Chris Colfer, and Darren Criss, I think, are my three favorites.
Yeah, I think those are very solid choices.
Although I mean, they all have their highlights, but also it was kind of nice to see Santana get a bigger, Naya Rivera, mm-hmm, have a bigger role over the course of the show, because towards the beginning she was the bully and she really wasn't featured vocally, but as the seasons went on, she kind of became the second female lead, and she really, like, slayed a lot of numbers. Yeah. I'm thinking particularly of, I believe, season 4, she sings Girl on Fire, mm-hmm, and it's just great. And then, of course, Valerie is probably, like, her big,
yeah,
among fans, considered her best number. But yeah, she's really done a great, great job, and she's got someone who I feel like has gotten better as the show went on.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, she was, like, I don't even know if she was technically part of the cast when the show started out or if she was just kind of in the background, but her voice is incredible, and I agree with you, it's grown from the beginning, and also her acting skills too. Like, with her, we've gotten to see, like, someone grow both as an actress and singer at the same time, which is very cool. And the same with Britney. I mean, she started out kind of in the background, and I know she had a history as a Beyonce backup dancer, so obviously she could move, but we also kind of saw her, like, find her feet as a comedic actress.
She's hysterical.
And she is perfect. Yeah.
She's, like, really
she is
funny.
One of the best parts on the show.
Yeah. Well done, everyone.
Yeah, all around. Yeah, I think in terms of my favorite voices, I like, Lea Michele, obviously, you kind of have to have for Glee to work, even. Darren Criss, and then probably Amber Riley.
Like, she's great.
She's just such a, like, incredible voice. And a lot of people, sure, she kind of does. She doesn't have the, I guess, stylistic range that some of the other ones do. But, I mean, man, her voice is just, like, totally legit. Whereas a lot of the other singers, you listen to it and you're like, this isn't entirely the best vocal performance possible, but, like, every time she opens her mouth, it's, like, exactly on point.
I also feel like Amber Riley really helped sell and close a lot of the group numbers, especially in, mm-hmm, the beginning. Like, she would come in towards the end and it was just, like, it took everything to a new level.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, her and Rachel's voice were kind of the linchpins, basically, of it. Because, like, Corey Monteith, rest in peace, wonderful guy, great singer, like, not the most technically perfect voice. And so a lot of times you need, like, someone who has the pipes, like Amber Riley, to kind of bring the number to a close, who can, like, actually hit those notes. And she did that, you know, in Somebody to Love and all the, like, early group numbers and so forth. But I don't know. Do we have any other Glee things to say?
Or I'm trying to think of, like,
Glee'd out?
Ending Glee thoughts.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sad. Even though I don't watch it anymore, I'm, like, sad that it's leaving. It's always kind of nice to know it's there. Like with The Simpsons, like, it just still exists and is out there.
I think The Simpsons have spoiled you.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I would just say, like, for anyone who feels like, you know, the plot fell off or, like, they always had major continuity and issues, it's nice that, like, watching it even through, like, season 6 towards the end, they're still, like, delivering a lot of numbers that are really crushing it, which that in and of itself, I think, is such a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like this is pretty much just what I've been doing the whole time, is just remembering songs that I like. But I just remembered one Schuster number I did love was when he did Poison with his group.
That was so good.
Which I believe were called the Acapellas.
Can't get her out of my head. Miss her, kiss her, love her.
wrong movie, Dan.
That girl is poison.
Incredible. Yeah, I mean, there it'll be very interesting to see what they all do moving forward, because a number of them have kind of tried, you know, to make a move into the pop or kind of like vocal pop Josh Groban territory with mixed results. So, I mean, I feel like they'll always have a home on Broadway in some sense, but
it's gonna be like American Idol again.
It'll be really weird to see like what they do. Like, do they get albums that hit? Do they get singles that hit?
I mean, so many of them, as you say, so many of them have tried the album thing, and you mm-hmm. would think for someone who's able to chart so easily,
right,
with great songs that have already been written, but new covers, they have not had success with the original music yet. Although, wait, speaking of original music, I'm going to do what you're doing and just announce songs that I liked, which was anytime they did, well, it was when they were at Nationals and they sang original songs.
Yes.
Loser Like Me.
Was good.
I heard the hesitation.
I
don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
good.
I think it might have just been like a moment, and like it was, you know, all of them together. But I remember really liking that one, and I like remember hearing that on the radio and being so impressed with that at that point. Like, wow, this show really is enough of a cultural force that they can like throw songs together.
Right. Totally.
Well, there was like, of course, the concert series as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot.
It seems
that
like
even
a juggernaut.
Very much like Idol. yeah, I think it'll be interesting as Glee closes to see if people kind of turn their love for these singers and these songs, if it just becomes purely nostalgic, that we more or less just like look back on our favorite Glee songs and re-listen to them, or if people actually like follow the careers of, you know, Lea Michele and Chris Colfer musically and so forth to see what they do. But
absolutely, I think they're all really talented. I'm excited to see what they do next.
I know, I'm really excited to see. I mean, yeah, Lea Michele, like, doing Funny Girl is pretty much, like, all I can ever ask for.
Well, I think you're probably going to get your dream come true because Ryan Murphy has the rights to it.
It seems like, yeah, like, it seems like the stars are lining up for this to happen.
Yeah, I mean, she has to come back and get her Tony. As on the show right now, she's trying to decide, like, if going back to Broadway is what she wants. So it looks like Lea Michele and Rachel Berry will once again become one.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, Glee, like, it was so much fun when it started out. It's still, like, I watch it occasionally, and it still is good, but that was just such a great moment in time. Like, it was just, there was nothing else like it. There hadn't been, you know, a great musical on
TV. And now, of course,
never.
Like, it's like, Glee, of course, came out of High School Musical, but now there's Smash, and that, you know, mm-hmm. was so buzzy when it started, and of course fell apart, but now we've got Empire.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, Glee's really paved the way for more musical shows, and for that, I will always be grateful.
Exactly. So Glee, we love you. Corey Glee. Monteith, RIP, we will always miss you.
We love you, we miss you. Glee.
And I guess if you guys have, you know, if you have Glee favorites, tweet them at us. I mean, there's 700 some songs on the show. I know we've missed a lot of the best ones.
And I was a fan of about 650 of them, so.
I'm going to say I'm a fan of 325.
Yeah.
About half. But
yeah, half seems about right.
Anyways, so that's all we got this time for the Must Hear Music podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Aaron. It was really fun. All right, have a good one.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.